Hi everyone, it's Lucy Alderson, tech and global reporter for EG, and it's another week of We're Still Here. While tech and special projects editor Emily Wright is off making pastry somewhere in Middle England, I'll be bringing you the lowdown on the biggest property news this week alongside deputy editor Tim Burke. Hello Tim, how are you?
I am very well. How are you, Lucy?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm good.
Is this our first We're Still Here together?
I think it is. And the world implodes.
What a momentous occasion. The fans have been waiting.
I know.
Love it.
It's a treat for everyone. We're too kind to you. And we're going to have a chat about the main stories this week. And it has been quite a jam-packed week. But I think the first thing we have to talk about, seeing as you're a raging working from home enthusiast, is the government U-turn on its back to office campaign. So we're 6 months into COVID restrictions, and earlier this week, Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced we're in for 6 months more and said we all need to work from home if you can do so. So the government message has basically done a 180. We were all told that we need to buy Pret Sandwich and save the economy, but now that's not happening anymore and we're all working from home. And we've had some quite interesting reactions to how this working from home U-turn could specifically impact London, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. So our wonderful colleague Louise Dransfield was chatting to a few people in the market about this week. And there's a sense of worry really in the London market about what these COVID restrictions and particularly, as you say, that guidance on working from home might mean for an economic recovery. Duncan Owen, who's the real estate head over at Schroders, he reckons that in the near term, the capital will end up looking a bit like a donut, as he put it, i.e. nothing in the middle as people stay away. And that means potentially a lot of the businesses that rely on footfall from office workers, tourists and the like, they could really struggle to make it through. Places like Canary Wharf, you'd expect to be suffering a lot as well. And a lot of big companies already seem to be rowing back on those programs that they put in place to get people back to their desks.
And, you know, Boris Johnson has said this could last for another 6 months. So it's just going to continue having an impact on the offices sector, isn't it?
I think it will. I think it'd be quite interesting to watch what happens now in the deal making market, too. Zachary Gage over at UBS Asset Management, he pointed out that it's, you know, it sounds like a sort of glib point, but it could well be tougher to sell an office that isn't being used. Now, on the other hand, you've still got so much money out there to be invested. And if over the longer term, there's still a belief, a hope that, you know, the investment argument for offices will remain, it's going to be a case of seeing how those factors balance out over the longer term. Like you say, we're being told at least 6 more months of these restrictions. We're going to be, I guess, well into next year before we really see what effect this has on the capital.
Yeah. And, you know, at We're Still Here, we always have to ask for like really hard and pressing questions. So, you know, I do have to ask, what's your favourite donut?
Well, do you know what? I thought when you said that it had been a jam-packed week, I thought you were going to lead into a sort of donut pun on that, but you didn't.
I missed that. Oh, that would have been a beaut segue.
I thought it was the setup. But we can always go back and re-record it. Maybe you could just put it in.
Yeah. If I can be bothered.
But it's not really the right type of donut. I think a jam donut doesn't fulfil Duncan Owen's criteria for his metaphor. But I'm going anyway. My favourite.
Yeah.
I'm going with. And thank you for giving me a heads up because I was able to give this the thought that it deserves. I had a Krispy Kreme donut the other week with Reese's chocolate and peanut butter in, and it was awesome. That gets my vote.
Oh, that actually sounds quite lush.
What about you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know what?
Came up with the question. I would have hoped that you'd have had an answer already.
I'm a basic bitch and I love a jam donut. You know, the sugar, the like basics, jam inside, and you know, it's just a nightmare to eat, you know, just happy days.
I love that we've both picked a donut that doesn't work with the donut metaphor
that we've used
in the story, but never mind.
The whole point of bringing up the donuts is because it is hollow inside. We've just picked a donut, which is just like stuff. Moving on, this week we did also see the ongoing fallout from widespread redundancy programs as well occurring across the agency sector. And EG spoke to a number of senior professionals who have lost their jobs about why they have decided to strike out and set up a consultancy of their own. And I've got a comment here, a little quote from Peter Wrigley, who spent almost 16 years at CBRE leading the agent specialist shopping centre lease consultancy team. And he also unfortunately lost his job as a result of the redundancy consultation. And he said his redundancy has been in no way seen as a negative thing to the people I've been speaking to since it happened. And he also added, it opened my eyes to the fact that there are a lot of people I could work with who previously haven't been an option. And I just think the phrase out of adversity comes opportunity is really fitting here. And it is bleak talking about redundancies, but it is also quite inspirational and quite uplifting to see people kind of turning something which could be seen as a negative event into something quite positive. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of the pressures that people in the industry are facing at the moment, that those job cuts, particularly those big agencies, they're right at the top of the list. And it is, as you say, it's a terrible time for anyone affected by those redundancy rounds. But I think the piece that you published this week and the stories that you reported on of people who have used that as a push to do something different, you know, setting up their own business, something that I think Peter said he'd been thinking about for years, but had never taken that jump to doing. I think that's really inspiring, and hopefully people can look at that and realize that no matter the near-term pain that they're going to go through in this process, because nobody wants to have to go through this, there can be an outcome that has some optimism to it, that has some positivity. And I'm sure for a lot of these people setting up their own shops, it will still be tough. I mean, if you look at what's going on in the market, this isn't going to be an easy time to launch a business and to win work. But I think for some of them, if they make it through the near term downturn, I think, as someone said to you in that piece, they could look back at it as one of the best decisions that they made.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, a lot of people who we talked to for the piece were actually really like open and honest about the whole process. And, you know, I think it is important to remove the stigma around being made redundant, because it can be seen as, you know, when you personally, you know, experience it, you can think, you know, it's something to be ashamed of, or something to be embarrassed about and not really talk about it. But I think it really can show how many opportunities can present themselves from the network that you have if you kind of talk about it. And I think that is an instance where it can, where we do need to kind of talk a bit openly about that, because it does seem like we will see more redundancies being made.
I think you're right. I think it's unavoidable, and so many people will be affected by this, that this is clearly the right time to be talking about it and to be removing that stigma, because there will be so many people touched by the decisions that are being made in these businesses that no one has to go through that process alone. I think the more open people are about how they cope with it, how they find their next steps, how they find that support network around them, the better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, talking about removing the stigma from redundancies also moves me on to our last and final topic that we're going to have a chat about today, which also carries quite a lot of stigma with it in real estate, which is the topic of mental health. So last week we launched the second annual EG Mental Health Survey. And the reason why we've launched it again this year is because we want to gather insight into the mental health of property's workforce. And it's a really important subject, because last year's survey showed that one in four property professionals had considered suicide, which is obviously a really shocking, sobering statistic. And we're lucky to see where the property has been able to shift those worryingly high statistics back and make some progress. And I do think mental health is such an important topic now, because it is is a worrying time, you know, not in terms of, you know, just what's going on with the virus, but also the impact that this whole pandemic is having in terms of, you know, there are some really tough market conditions out there and a tough jobs market. And, you know, it is going to take a toll on our mental health as well. So we really do want you to, talk to us about it.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, look, I think this was obviously always going to be a survey that we revisited annually, but I mean, we couldn't have foreseen the circumstances under which we'd be doing it. And I think you're right. I think the pandemic and lockdown have brought even more focus onto the topic. I mean, do you want to talk through what we've added to this year's survey in terms of additional topics that we're exploring around the sort of very particular events of 2020?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the main kind of the main differences between last year's survey and this year's survey do focus around the impact of COVID and also kind of, you know, asking people to reflect on, you know, what has changed in terms of mental health awareness since last year. So we've got one question which we'll ask about, you know, how has COVID had an impact on your mental health, you know, whilst working in real estate, or something along those lines. And then the other questions are just, you know, do you think that we've made progress since last year? Do you think we're talking more openly about mental health? Do you think the property workforce's mental health has made an improvement since last year or hasn't it? So we're really kind of looking to set a benchmark for this year, compare it to last year's data, and hopefully give people a really good insight into the subject. So if you could help us to do that, we would really appreciate if you could take just 5 minutes to fill out the survey. And I'll put out the survey link in the podcast post. The survey is anonymous, so you don't have to reveal any personal identifiable details. And, you know, it really could help make a big difference.
Absolutely.
On that note, I think that's it. I mean, we could go on to, like I say, it has been a jam-packed and not like hollowless donut hole. Does that work? Yeah.
That was great. I'm going to go and get a donut. Lucy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us. And see you next week.